Well, if you're following along in your Bibles, then last week we studied the beginnings of the book of Jeremiah, and this week you're finishing out the book of Jeremiah. Now, we're going to derail a bit from the usual on our Wednesday nights. We've been kind of following along that Bible reading plan and trying to do different lessons that apply to and follow that plan, but tonight we're going to begin in the 9th chapter of Jeremiah, and then we're going to branch off and really just try to drive home some principles rather than go verse-by-verse exegesis. Now, our topic is one which we all struggle with. Often we struggle with this unknowingly. It gets the better of us far too often, each and every one of us. And of course, I'm speaking of pride. Now, in Jeremiah, we're going to see a contrast. We're going to see a contrast between pride and humility. We're going to talk about these two attributes, what they look like and what they are. We're going to take a look at the difference between meekness and arrogance. And note that God's word speaks powerfully and repeatedly concerning these two things. It warns strongly against arrogance and strongly against pride. And it's one that we should all heed and revisit these warnings as often as we can, lest we fall into the pit, the snare of pride in our own lives. So if you would, please join me. Jeremiah chapter 9 is where we'll be starting out at. And the first verse that we're going to go to here is we're going to read verses 23 and 24 in Jeremiah chapter 9. So read with me, please. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Now, each one of us here tonight, every single one of us, in one way or another, we are all very, very greatly blessed. However, as people, as human beings, we all have a tendency to acknowledge the blessings that we have. And foolishly, we often mistake those blessings as being our own works, being things that we have provided, things that we have brought about, or blessings that we've received on our own power. Now, we often accredit to ourselves, unknowingly, unpurposefully, what we're really doing with pride whenever it seeps in and we begin to see the blessings that we have or the things that we are proficient in. What we are unknowingly doing is we are attributing glory to ourselves. We are taking credit, we're taking the glory for what God has done in our lives. And that's really what the heart of pride is. We're going to talk in length tonight about what the heart of pride is and about the heart of humility and how it looks like in our lives. So the things which Jeremiah is speaking of in verses 23 and 24 here, they're the same things that you and I are struggling with today. These verses, they identify some of the same things that are prevalent in our society and in our lives, and they're the same things that were prevalent in society and in the lives of the people, primarily Judah, that Jeremiah was speaking to. Notice what he says here in 23 and 24. He says, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." So he speaks of wisdom, of knowledge, of men who have understanding. And you all probably know someone who's like this. You know someone who seems to think, whether they say it or not, they seem to think that they just know everything. They just seem to have all the answers. Won't listen to anything you try to tell them. They just got it all figured out, they think. And you know, that's a lot. You see that a lot in Now, you see that in both sides of the fence, both the atheist and the Christian, but also the atheist, they always seem to think they know everything. They seem to think they have all the answers for things, how they've always got a reply. But he says, do not glory in your wisdom. Neither let mighty men glory in his might, and let not the rich man glory in his riches. So when I see the rich man glorying in his riches, these are people who are struggling with materialism, who they just seem to have it all. And they find security in the fact that they have it all. And they value their worth on the things that they accomplish, the things that they accumulate, the things that they acquire. Have you ever known anyone who was like any of the things that we've talked about here? People who just, you can tell that they wear their pride on them. The Pharisees were this way. The Pharisees that we see throughout the Old Testament, and then it speaks greatly of them in the New, right? The Pharisees were people just like this. They were in no greater relationship with God than anyone else was, but they thought that they were. They thought that they had it all figured out. They were very well known in the public square. They were looked at very highly and highly respected. They loved their status. Most of them were wealthy from the readings that I can find here, everything that that points to them being well off, well to do, and that had a lot to do with their social power, their social influence. Now, we're going to jump around a little bit to a couple of scriptures here because I want you to see that the Bible repeats itself over and over concerning the topic of pride. And like anything, anyone here have a parent that seemed to just say the same things over and over? They had just had the same, they would tell you something and it seemed like they were always saying this. That's how my dad was. My dad never, ever, and probably because I'm thick-headed, he probably just knew the son he had. And maybe that's something in that too with God. My dad never told me something just once. Now he made it to where really that's all he needed to tell me. But he knew his audience wasn't the brightest, me being the audience. And he knew that he'd have to revisit things. He'd be like, now, Josh, didn't we talk about this before? Well, yeah, we did. So what I've come to find is that when parents say something repeatedly, it's because what they're trying to tell you is important, and they know that you're not going to grasp it the first time. Or they've seen from past experience that we need to keep going over this because you're still not picking it up. Well, that's the same reason that the Bible is repetitious in that way, all right? We see a lot of the truths of the Word of God repeated over and over, and we see them from cover to cover. God knows that we struggle. God knows that we don't pick things up. So we're going to take a look here, just a couple of different scriptures that highlight, that support, and reinforce what God's trying to tell us about pride. So I'll read a couple of them for you here. Isaiah, you don't have to flip because we're going to be flipping to quite a few of them. But if you go to the book of Proverbs, we'll be looking at quite a few in there. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says this. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Of course, it's speaking of the day of the Lord. It says, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Now, James chapter 4, verse 10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, we're going to get into Proverbs. I'm going to give you four verses from the Proverbs here. I'm going to give you from different Proverbs, so you can see this is a repeated theme. Right, and notice some of the things that it's talking about throughout the Bible here when it speaks of pride. It gives a identification and a warning, and these warnings, they're all the same warning, said in many different ways throughout the Word of God. First example is in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 tells us, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now, if you're looking at that verse, you'll note that it says, fear of the Lord is to hate evil, but then it has a colon there. The reason that colon is there is because it's saying, and this is what evil is. In other words, these are the things you should hate if you hate evil. Very first thing it talks about, pride and arrogancy and the evil way. and the froward mouth do I hate. This is the word of God speaking here. He's saying, if you love me, if you fear God, then you'll hate these things. And very first thing up, pride, arrogancy. Jump now to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. With the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 16, verse 5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Do you know what the term abomination means? If something is abominable to you, it is disgusting, it is grotesque, it is hated, absolutely undesirable. All right? So he says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. So he tells you there that God looks at these things as abominable. He says these things are not going to go unpunished. They're not going to just be let go. Finally, if you're in Proverbs chapter 16, go down just a few verses. Go look at verse 18. It says, and this is a popular one, a well-known verse. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Now, I want to talk about this one for a second, because it's got some important truths here. So we see the same principle being repeated over and over and over. We see repeatedly God is rejecting the prideful. God is rejecting those who are arrogant. And I really, really like verse 18 there in the 16th chapter of Proverbs, because it tells us something. It says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So you may wonder why this is so greatly warned against. And the primary reason, I'm going to read this as I wrote it, because I think it's going to be clearer if I just read it than try to explain it. The primary reason that pride is bad is because the prideful do not see God as a need, as a necessity, nor as a desire. Therefore, they do not value God. The prideful do not value God correctly. They do not understand that without God, they have nothing and ultimately are nothing. Solomon tells us that all of this life is vanity of vanities. Vanity, meaning emptiness, it's hollow. Without the Lord, we have nothing. And I spoke with a man whose last name I can't remember because I have a horrible memory. He's a preacher down in Dunn, first name Wayne. I spoke with him today, and we had a conversation about pride. And we both saw eye to eye on a lot of the things that we were talking about, and both of us have the same understanding when it comes to pride, that a prideful heart is when man says, God, I don't need you. I don't want you. That's the heart of pride. And that's why pride is such a horrible thing. Now, here's the thing. People who are without God, that's what I believe 18 is pointing to when it says that pride goeth before destruction. If you don't see your need for God, if you don't have God, if you're prideful in your heart, then you suffer from the same thing that Lucifer suffered from. An incorrect evaluation of who you are and what you are in comparison to God. And that will keep you from coming to God and receiving the one thing that really matters. Let me explain this. So this is my thoughts on something, on us here in this life, in this world. Solomon tells us, as I said earlier, that life is vanity of vanities, right? And we see from the scriptures that what does it gain a man? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world yet lose his soul? What that tells me is that this life that we live, there's nothing of it that's of any value. There's nothing in this life that's of any real worth. The life that we live, the reason that it's A blink of an eye, a snap of the fingers, it's here and then it's gone, is because this is not about this life. This is about God. This life that we live, God is using all of this to bring us to Him, to teach us, to give us understanding, to test us. Our lives aren't about this life. It's about something much bigger. This is just temporary. But when we get pride in our hearts, we begin to think of ourselves as much larger than we really are, much greater than we really are. We take our eyes off of Christ, and we begin to focus only on ourselves, and we get a tunnel vision for this life and this world. But remember what Solomon tells us. That is worthless. It's vanity. It's a waste. We're going to go for a little deeper here in a second. Do you remember the prayer? In Luke, we see the publican, and we see the sinner. The publican and the Pharisee. And the Pharisee, he was very prideful, very boastful, right? But not the publican. The publican saw his true estate. He identified himself as a sinner. He recognized and acknowledged his need for God. He recognized through a clear lens, he saw who he really was, and he knew that God saw it too. But that's not the heart that we see in the Pharisee. The Pharisee was puffed up. He was boasting of his own greatness. He was boasting. But the Bible tells us that it was the publican that went home that day. The publican that went home with God, not the Pharisee. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy. To Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to go to verse 11. I want to read you about five verses here. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, we're going to read verse 11 to 17. So there, starting in verse 11, it says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and there was no water, who brought thee forth out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." Now, we know here that he's speaking, of course, to Israel during their time of rebellion soon after the wilderness. However, it applies very much to us. As we read the verses that we just read there, the idea of pride and plenty, it shows that it causes us to forget the Lord. It causes us to put the Lord behind us, so to speak, as it did with the people here in Israel. Note that it says, "Then thine heart be lifted up," which is this language, this imagery of being puffed up, boastful, prideful. It says, "and thou forget the Lord thy God." Now, one of the things, the idea of pride and plenty causing us to forget God, here's something that I got out of this as I was doing this study. When we forget God, we fall deeper and deeper into depravity. We fall farther and farther away from the image of God that we're meant to be, because God is no longer on our radar. The only thing that has our attention is us and our world, our accomplishments, our wealth, our might, our social status, our power, our influence, and it all becomes about me, me, me. And the whole purpose of the Christian life is to learn to, as the scripture says, to pick up our cross, to die to ourselves, right? To live a life that's not lived for us. We cannot do that if we are prideful, if we are boastful, because it causes us to forget God. Our entire focus becomes ourselves. And we see this repeated in Scripture. In Proverbs, and you'll have to turn there if you don't want, Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9, where we see Augur, who is another priest, display wisdom concerning this principle. He says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." So we see here that Augur is pointing out the same thing that Moses was pointing out in Deuteronomy chapter 8. That a prideful, boastful heart, someone who looks at all the things that they have, a convenience of life, it often causes us to forget about God because we don't see Him where we are. Our focus becomes blurred. Now, the New Testament church was taught the same principle. These were not just Old Testament teachings. All right? This is biblical truth, and it's found throughout the entirety of the biblical narrative. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Go to Philippians chapter 2 with me, if you would, please. We're going to start at verse 3. We're going to read verses 3 through 8, and you're going to see the same biblical principle given in the New Testament. And the reason that we're reading all of these different scriptures and we're talking about the same thing over and over about pride and its effect is because it's important that we see that the Bible talks about this nonstop from cover to cover. It's one of the most prevalent, most common warnings that we see in the Bible is a warning against pride. And pride is one of the most devastating, one of the most dangerous things that we have to watch out for in this life. And it's something that everyone is susceptible to in a multitude of different ways. So Philippians chapter 2 there, verses 3 through 8. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now let's stop there for a minute. We're going to continue this in just a moment. Notice what it says about the mind that we're supposed to have, what our focus is supposed to be, how we're supposed to live, the heart that we're supposed to have within us. It tells us that we're not supposed to concern ourselves with ourselves and our own needs, leaning on the Lord. We should be concerning ourselves with what others need. And this is how it was in the early church. The early church banded together and they sold their possessions to take care of one another. Their goal, their focus was not themselves. It was the others. And what's amazing about that is, and I'm not saying go out and sell all your things, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But do you realize that if every one of us is more concerned about everybody else than we are with ourselves, then we don't need to worry about ourselves. First and foremost, we trust in God, right? That should be the one that we look to. But furthermore, if that's the case, then we should also be able to rest because if we are more concerned with them and they're concerned with us, that means just in this room, I'm concerned for, what is it, maybe the 30 or 40 people that are here. But as you look at the other coin of that, that means I've got 40 people who are more concerned about me than they are themselves at the same time. That's how it's supposed to be. Brothers and sisters taking care of themselves, taking care of the other man, not themselves. And it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So we see that Christ, who is to be our example that we're to follow, right? That's why we are Christians, we're to be Christ-like, lived a life of humility and meekness. And this is truly awe-inspiring, especially if you understand who Christ was. Now, it's one thing for to say just someone who's important or well-to-do to live a life lived for others. Okay, that in itself, it would be an impressive statement, an impressive thing. But when you take into consideration that Jesus Christ was not just some man who was well-off or well-to-do or of high status, he was the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He was the Almighty in flesh. He was the King of the hosts of heaven. Yet, notice what it says about him in this verse. This is powerful language that's used. And it's something that each and every one of us can read and look at ourselves and say, wait a minute, is that how I live my life? If he was this much greater than I am, yet it says that he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made into the likeness of men. How can I read that and in any way have room in my heart for pride in my own life? How can I be puffed up understanding what God did for me, what he's done for you, what he did? How can we read that as Christians, as followers of Christ and followers of his example, and allow pride to seep in? But we do it all the time. It's something we have to continually be checking ourselves against. And it happens without us knowing about it. It just seeps into our lives. And in just a second, we're going to talk about some of the things that where you can, if you see these things creeping in, then you might want to take a look and see if pride is maybe getting the better of you. Pride causes us to think that we're better than others. It causes us to think of ourselves and not think of others. It's pride that's to blame, that's to cause whenever we are quick to anger. It's pride that's to blame whenever we are quick to call names, quick to say things that are hurtful or harmful to others. That's pride getting the best of us. It's pride that's to blame when someone just won't accept help, or anything that someone does seems like it's not good enough because so-and-so is a perfectionist, and oh, well, you just get out of here, you can't do it. That's their pride, is what that is. Pride is a dangerous thing, and it's a destructive thing, not just for our souls and our relationship with God, but it's also destructive for our relationships with the people here that we're in this world with. Pride is incredibly destructive, and it's pervasive in the way that it seeps in. And I wrote this here, and I was just thinking to myself, the parable of the wedding feast is pretty good at illustrating this. In Luke 14, verses 7 through 11, we have the parable of the wedding feast. And he marked how he chose out the chief rooms. I'll read it for you. Verse 7 says, "And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden," speaking of those which were at the feast, "when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher, and thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Now, when I read this parable, as I was preparing for this study on pride and humility, it reminds me of something. It points out very clearly that it is God who does the exalting in our lives. Each and every one of us want one day to hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." We should not be seeking to exalt ourselves, to glorify ourselves, to puff ourselves up and make ourselves better. Our focus should be continually on the Lord. It is God who will exalt us, okay? If we're to be exalted at all, it's going to be by the only one who has a right, and that's by God. And we see that, and that's what he's talking about there at the wedding feast. Don't think that you're greater than you really are. Don't try to put yourself into a position that's higher than you ought to be. A heart that's prideful, as I said earlier, it's bound for destruction. But they also, as I said, they cause destruction in the wake of a prideful heart for those that are around us. It causes us to judge people, to belittle, to blame people for things. Proverbs 8:12 reinforces this. It says that before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Which again is reinforcing the same principles that we've been seeing throughout all of Proverbs, throughout the parable that we just read there at the wedding feast, that humility is what God is going to honor and exalt. Being humble, meek, lowliness of spirit. And that those who are prideful, boastful, haughty, those are the ones that God is going to reject. Again, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Anyone, you probably have heard of C.S. Lewis. He was a very well-known author, a Christian author, wrote a couple of books that were very well-known in Christian circles. One of them is Mere Christianity. And in Mere Christianity, which is actually one of my favorites, there's about a paragraph that I want to share with you that C.S. Lewis wrote, speaking of pride, and it's very powerful. These are the words of C.S. Lewis concerning pride. Pride, the essential vice, the utmost of evil. Yes, this is pride. Unchastity, anger, greed, drunkenness, and all of that, they are mere flea bites in comparison to pride. It was through pride that the devil became the devil. Pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind. It is pride which has been the chief cause of misery in every nation and every family since the world began. There's a great deal of truth in what C.S. Lewis says there. Pride is the original sin. I don't know if you realize that or not. Pride is what Lucifer first struggled with. And in the garden, it was pride was what's is the result, is the, not result's not the word I'm looking for. Pride is the catalyst. It is the reason that Adam and Eve did what they did. You see, they wanted to be like God. They didn't trust God. They didn't believe in God. They didn't lean on God. They bought the lie, which originally was all about pride. I like what he says here, that pride is the complete anti-God state of mind. There's a lot of truth to that. There's a great deal of truth to that. I also like that he identifies pride as a vice. And it's something which we become addicted to. It's something that we continually struggle with once we have a problem with it. It makes us feel good, thinking that we're greater than we are, puffing ourselves up, trusting in our own wisdom, our wealth, our might, our abilities, our social status. Often people who desire power want more power. People who take pride in money are continually looking for more money. People who take pride in the possessions that they have are continually looking for new and better possessions. Pride is a vice, and it's a vice which leads to all the others. It's at the heart of all the others. Just the opposite of that, though, is humility. Now, humility is a virtue, and is that which causes us to continually examine ourselves to see the truth of what we are. Humility can be seen in the heart of the publican, whose prayer was, "O God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Here in a moment, we're going to close out the service tonight. We have a business meeting following after, so whenever we close out in prayer, I'll head out of the auditorium, and Brother Canterbury, Deacon Canterbury, will lead the business meeting. If you're struggling with pride, this is my closing thoughts on this, my closing statement here. If you're struggling with pride, if it's causing damage to your relationship, if it's causing damage in your relationship with Christ, your ability to come to Christ, then take a look at the Word of God. Take a look at the Word of God and see the warnings that are there from cover to cover on pride. Humble yourselves before God. just as I have to humble myself before God, take a look and begin to rely upon God and not yourself. Do not find comfort. Do not allow your heart to be focused on the things of this world, on the treasures and the wisdom, your own knowledge and your own understanding. I wrote a note here that I'm praying that everyone takes the wisdom of the Word of God and in this message and is attentive and aware of how dangerous and addictive pride can be in our lives, and that all of us strive daily to humble ourselves before God. Please join me as we close out in prayer. Father God, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for the time that we've had here together, Lord. We thank you for the word that was given to us. Father, pride is something that each and every one of us struggles with, Lord. You know that. You know that there's times in our life when we're not thinking straightly, Lord, that we're not relying fully upon you, when we begin to become comfortable and begin to trust in our own abilities. Father, help us to always have a mind and a heart that is focused solely and continually upon you, Father, that leans on you for all of our needs and has an understanding of who we really are, Father. Lord, it's without you, without the cross, we cannot be forgiven, we cannot be cleansed, we cannot have any righteousness of ourselves, Lord. It's only a gift of grace, Father, and we thank you for that. If there's anyone here, Lord, who's struggling with this, if there's anyone here who, Lord, maybe is dealing with pride in their lives and they're not aware of it, Lord, if I have pride in my life that I'm unaware of, Father, we pray that you would convict us of it, that you'd make us attentive and aware of these things. Lord, help us to be humble and hard in spirit, Father, that we may grow closer to you. If there's anyone out within our paths that we're going to cross, Lord, give us the words to speak to them. Give us the, Lord, the direction, the path to walk that we can, Father, show your light to them, that, Father, you'd be glorified and that they would have salvation. They'd have a relationship with the Savior, Father. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.